And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
Joe, oh, you're muted.
Yeah. Well, now the mute's off. It's still going to be bad. It's going to be a robot situation here, I think. Got me?
Oh, yeah. We got you.
Okay. We're in a hotel.
Oh, I think
in Florida. And I can't stand when they only have. Yeah. I can tell right now this Wi-Fi is terrible.
Michelle, how's life? What's going on?
Remember a couple of weeks ago when I told you I had the neck, I slept on my neck wrong? Well,
I do.
I am officially getting very old because I woke up this morning, guys, and I am as stiff as a board. I can't even move my neck. So it's going to be a long show for me. I need to schedule a chiropractor appointment.
Is this becoming like a consistent thing now? You've reached that age where every time you're laying down, there's injury that's imminent.
Listen, you know, 24, I'm getting up there.
The ripe old age of 24.
Yeah, I'm struggling this morning. My head is like on a swivel. I like can't move it. So that was great driving and trying to merge lanes this morning.
Yeah, I bet it was great trying to drive and merge lanes this morning. Well, we're glad you made it into the studio safely on that regard.
Thanks, Rob.
I don't know. Yeah, no problem. Did you watch any Monday night football last night? Because let me tell you, I made it through about, 9 minutes of that game of watching Ian Book play quarterback and the Dolphins play on the other side of the ball. And that was about all I could handle. Ian Book, good for him for being out there and for putting in some effort. 12 of 20 on the night for the Saints, finishing with 135 yards. Two picks, including a pick six on the first drive that he had, and the Dolphins win 20-3 last night on Monday Night Football. That was a pretty rough one to watch.
Yeah, I saw Twitter just basically saying how bad the game was. I can't really say I watched any of it, but I do know I got a point for Pigskin Pick'em, so I was happy about that.
Well, what else is new? You getting a point for Pigskin Pick'em. That seems to be how it works. Good for the Dolphins last night. They win 7 in a row. Adam Schefter put this out last night on Twitter as well. The Dolphins becoming the first team in NFL history to lose 7 games in a row in a season and also to win 7 games in a row in a season as well. So that sets up a big matchup coming up on Sunday for the Titans against the Dolphins. They will be fighting for their playoff lives coming into Nissan Stadium on Sunday, taking on the Titans. Obviously, the Titans in a bit of an advantage there in terms of they haven't played since last Thursday. The mini bye that they're going to have heading into this game, Miami coming off Monday Night Football. So as Joe pointed out yesterday, the schedule, not great for the Dolphins on that front, but we'll see how that affects this game coming up here. You know, Tua last night, 19 of 26, 198 yards, a touchdown and an interception. He threw the ball early and often to Jaylen Waddle. Waddle ends up with 10 catches for 92 yards and a touchdown on the night on 12 targets. And just one of those games, Michelle, where Miami's offense looked good. They were moving the ball in that game. And now you've got a hot team coming in, one of the hottest teams in the league, coming into Nissan Stadium on Sunday for the Titans.
And I know it's the NFL, and you can say, yes, Miami's won this many games in a row. But if you look back, they haven't played much tough competition. So you would hope coming in on Sunday that this will be an easy, you know, check mark for the Titans, but I feel like we really just can't say that anymore because we said it with Houston and we saw how that went. We said it with the Jets, Pittsburgh. So let's just say this is going to be a really hard matchup because we've said that with the Rams and all these other hard teams, then maybe the Titans will get the win, right? I feel like that's a good mindset heading
in. Well, it may be. And I just shout out to our guy, Elijah Campbell, big Saints fan. He was dreading this game coming up last night with Ian Book at quarterback. I just hope he made it through it. Elijah, it's going to be okay. It really is amazing when you look at the quarterbacks the Saints have gone through this year. You start with Jameis Winston. You go to Trevor Siemian, Then you go to Joe's favorite player, Taysom Hill, and then all of a sudden Ian Book, a part of things at quarterback as well. It has been a revolving door at quarterback for the Saints this year. They dropped to 7-8 now. So, I mean, this is going to be pretty interesting in the NFC, how they're able to finish off here. I just don't know that they're going to have enough with the quarterback revolving door that they play. I mean, you got Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian, I guess, when you come back. But, man, it's a rough situation right now for the Saints. Speaking of rough situations, some bad news yesterday for the Titans as well. As COVID-19, the list continues to grow. Julio Jones, Buster Skrine, Bud Dupree, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina placed on the reserve COVID-19 list yesterday by the Titans. Roger Saffold and Elijah Molden were activated from COVID-19. So some good news on that front to see Roger Saffold and Elijah Molden back in the fold as well. But Julio Jones, Buster Skrine, Bud Dupree, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina all on the COVID list. We'll see if they're able to return this week. Obviously, with the new protocols in place in the NFL, you have that option now, if you're vaccinated, to be able to return by game day. Caleb Farley, who's been on injured reserve since October, was added to the COVID-19 IR list as well. So COVID-19 continued to go around the locker room. And Michelle, Adam Schefter put this out last night, and it's pretty amazing to sit here and watch. I mean, I think they had, I want to say the number, and I'll find the exact tweet here in a second. I think he said the number last year of positives was like 292 players. And this month they've already had over 400. So it is it's a huge problem right now in the NFL, and one that, I mean, you're hoping clears out of here by the time playoff comes. But the way things have been happening as of late, I don't think it's a stretch to say that this COVID-19 protocol and everything going on right now, the NFL might affect some playoff games as you move forward here.
I definitely did not see that tweet from Adam Schefter, and that's absolutely insane. I feel like we were going so strong, right? I mean, we made it training camp, summer, all the way through the fall, and now here we are, just back in COVID protocols again, and really just 0 to 100, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it's felt like. It seems like, you know, every couple hours there's news coming out on that front, and we'll see, hopefully, if you're the Titans. I mean, it feels like we're going to get back into the mode we got last year as they were taking on the Steelers, of you're just coming out and you're watching, you know, the Tom Pelisseros and the Ian Rappaports and the Adam Schefters of the world to make sure that the list doesn't grow. So obviously that's something we'll be keeping an eye on today to make sure that that list does not grow for the Titans, because four guys added to it yesterday, Saffold and Molden coming back off the list. Hopefully this does not become a huge issue for this Titans team today. I believe we have Joe Rexrode back on with us now. Joe, are you there?
Well, I'll give it a shot here on Katie's hotspot, and I apologize for this, but okay. yeah, it's and you know, you look at certain teams too. I mean, the Colts, for example, are still like one of the least vaccinated teams. Some of their key players not vaccinated. Of course, if you're not vaccinated, that's 10 days. You know, so you think about what this could mean to them in the postseason, and of course, including Carson Wentz. So the teams that are like most vaccinated, you test negative twice, you're back. So, you know, and again, I don't have specific info on every individual on the Titans. I believe John Robinson said before the season, did he say 97? But he said 97 either vaxxed or with antibodies. I mean, they've done well relative to the rest of the league. But I agree with you. I mean, this is going to – there's going to be some kind of disruption, some kind of key – absence or several possibly, you know, in January. I mean, we are getting to the point where like so many people have had it here that maybe, you know, it can calm down. But this variant clearly is incredibly transmissive, and obviously vaccinated or not, it is being transmitted. So, I mean, the NFL kind of reflects society right now too with that.
Well, and, you know, we were worried about the offensive line room earlier this week, and now all of a sudden, I mean, you look at the names added yesterday, you got two wide receivers, a defensive back, and an outside linebacker. Like, it's not like it's one position group either. And I guess you could look at that as, okay, it's just random, or, golly, like, are there more names going to be added to the list today? Obviously, we're going to have a lot of eyeballs on that today.
Oh, yeah, because that's the thing. It looked like, okay, well, it's the offensive line room. you know, it was four offensive linemen. So it's like, okay, so obviously someone had it, someone brought it in to the offensive line room. They're in, you know, whatever close quarters, and you spread it. But like you said, now you got, does this mean that like the receivers, we're going to start seeing more receivers? I mean, you know, at this point, that's, you know, the I guess trouble spot. If the offensive linemen are going to come back, you know, if you don't have Julio Jones and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina on Sunday, you know, you've got AJ Brown and Chester Rogers, and then there's a big, you know, drop off there. So, I mean, it is. We are back to the, we're not doing the Tom Pelissero every day, who's the new name, but we're going to be doing the right around 3 o'clock. You have transactions with more names on the list, and it looks like there's a real solid chance that there's more names that are going to be on the list.
On a more lighthearted note, Joe Rexroad, you've created a monster after our show yesterday. There's now a Twitter account who has just tweeted me about how much Ian Book stinks. That's called Toonces the Hot Take Cat. Toonces the Hot Take Cat now on Twitter as a direct result of your information that you brought to the table yesterday here on the show. So thank you for that.
This is very exciting. This is very exciting. Do you follow Toonces?
I don't. I probably should right now.
I mean,
Toonces has zero followers. I'll be the first one. There you go.
Well, I just there's actually a lot of Toonces accounts. As you say that, like I just searched Toonces, and there are quite a few Toonces accounts. So this is Toonces the Hot Take Cat.
Yes.
Okay, I need to find this. Yeah, it's very exciting.
It's
here we go.
At Toonces Sports on Twitter. At Toonces Sports.
I just doubled Toonces's followers. Toonces's followers. Congratulations, Toonces. You better be good, man. It's a beautiful profile pic, but you got to do something with the what do you call the big horizontal pic above it? What do you call that?
Your cover photo, Joe. Come on.
Yeah, cover photo.
Cover photo. Yeah. I mean, come on. There's some, a lot of great options for the cover photo, Toonces. Let's go.
Should just be Joe Rexroad.
It should. We should really be getting probably some royalties from Saturday Night Live at this point as well. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rexroad, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans, including some interesting comments by Tom Pelissero yesterday on the future of Derrick Henry. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rexroad brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Cody texting in, also known as LaGoat. LaGoat versus Skiatika in the Robbie and Rexroad Fantasy League football final coming up, an all Hendersonville High School final.
Ooh. Right.
It's a big matchup coming up this week.
Yeah, Brennan told me it's you and LaGoat. I've totally fallen off, but I need to follow closely now this championship match. What was LaGoat's record? I know you dominated the league. What how'd LaGoat do?
LaGoat was 9-5. I think he finished in first on the other side of the bracket. So two top teams taking on each other in the Robbie and Rexroad Fantasy Football League.
Okay, and let's remind everyone, so what's at stake? So LaGoat is in next year if he wins.
That is correct.
Does he not get in already, though? Like, if you win, you know what I mean?
I mean, I kind of feel like if I win, nobody should be guaranteed a spot next year.
Okay,
I mean, you can get in. I mean, there's a chance you can win again, but nobody should be guaranteed a spot.
Okay. What do you get if you win?
Just pride, I guess.
That's fine.
You get to brag about it.
Prize.
Yeah, I guess so.
We'll come up with a prize for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Some sort of trophy may need to be made. Leg lamp from A Christmas Story. Something.
Fragile.
Yeah, fragile. Tim on the text line says, Mike Vrabel pretty good coming off a bye or extra days off. That's something you're going to hear a lot this week of Mike Vrabel, when he's got extra time to prepare, which he does this week, seems to perform pretty well, seems to get his teams to perform pretty well as well.
Yes, you will hear that. And I agree with what Michelle said in the first segment on it's probably, you know, like if the Dolphins would have lost last night, which it didn't take much of watching Ian Book to know that they wouldn't be losing last night. But, you know, had they lost, like I said, they'd basically be toast. You know, they'd be on the fringe. They'd be mathematically alive, but basically they'd be playing off the string. This, of course, means they've won seven straight. I mean, I still think this is probably their most impressive win. I mean, look, the first few wins, well, the Ravens win was good, and this one was still pretty good. I mean, I thought the D looked really good, and, you know, Tua had a lot of nice moments, and then he has that pick where you're like, Tua, what are you doing? You know, and this has kind of been the problem with him. But it's probably better for the Titans. I agree with Michelle, like for them to be soaring and for people to wonder, you know, if this is a, you know, if this is a dangerous game for the Titans and for no one to be saying, ah, this will be a piece of cake. But to your point there, this stat will also be cited a lot because, and I don't know the number, but I believe they have not lost when there's been any sort of extra time.
Well, now we can really focus in on the Ryan Tannehill revenge tour game this week, too, taking down his old team, really just crushing their playoff hopes right in front of him. And we'll have plenty of time this week to talk about that. Tom Pelissero was on Good Morning Football yesterday and had some interesting comments. Basically, they were talking about who's the biggest threat in the AFC to the Chiefs and who is the second-best team outside of Kansas City in the AFC. And, you know, Pelissero went through his spiel about how, you know, I wouldn't want to play the Titans come playoff time. He's talked to some general managers about Mike Vrabel being coach of the year and all these different scenarios that have come up. And also mentioned in those comments that Derrick Henry could return as soon as week 18. That would be a week 18 matchup for the Titans against the Texans. We talked obviously a lot yesterday about Derrick Henry and his health as to whether or not the Titans should play him in the regular season. You know, I don't think anybody knows for sure, obviously, when Derrick Henry is going to walk out there. But when somebody like Tom Pelissero throws out that he could be back week 18, lots of Titans fans paying attention to that yesterday, Joe Rexrode. What did you think of those comments, and what do you think of the idea of maybe him being back as soon as week 18 against Houston?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, of course it's on the table. I mean, we talked yesterday, what would you rather do? I'm not inside the head of, you know, of Vrabel slash Robinson and everybody else who's weighing in on this in terms of, you know, what's the benefit versus the cost of, you know, the benefit versus the cost of having him get some kind of work in a regular season game. I still would say hold off. But again, I mean, I like Corey Curtis said yesterday, if you're ready, you're ready, right? And if that's the way they look at it, then I could see that happening. And also, we just don't know what's going to be on the line in that game. And to me, that has to be part of the equation.
Yeah, I think it does too. And, you know, let's say the one seed, I mean, I guess you still wouldn't know at that point. Even if Kansas City wins this week, you beat Miami. I mean, you just got to go try to win the game in Houston at that point and see where the chips fall after that when it comes to Kansas City and what they do. I mean, if Cincinnati wins this week, takes down Kansas City, and you beat Miami, you're in the driver's seat at that point. So, I don't know. Is it important to just make sure you win the Houston game and try to get Derrick Henry in there, or are you confident you could beat Houston without Derrick Henry? I would hope that you could be confident you could beat Houston without Derrick Henry. That's just the way I would approach it.
Well, I would agree, but I would also, I mean, there's certainly the scenario as well where the division's on the line there too. That's not far-fetched that Miami comes into Nissan Stadium, pulls out a win, the Colts beat the Raiders, and now, I mean, you have to win the division. Probably, you know, you're probably still going to get in the playoffs. I don't know what the Titans' percentage is, but it's like high 90s, right, to one way or the other make the playoffs. Yeah. But you know, I mean, that's possible too. So, yeah. So again, it's just, the idea that anyone right now is saying he will be back this date, you know, it's not accurate. Now, possible, sure. I mean, I think at this point we can you can pretty much rule out. I mean, I thought, hey, is it possible there's a designated to return this week? You know, could have been. But I believe that would have happened already. Usually that happens on Monday. So, you know, the next Monday, that becomes something you watch very closely.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ben texting in says he'll be ready for next year regardless. You bring him back as soon as possible. So, Ben, not overly worried about the re-injury risk when it comes to Derrick Henry. Bring him back as soon as possible, he says.
Well, you say he'll be ready next year regardless, not if he hurts the foot again. Look, maybe then you have the time for the rehab and all that stuff, but, I mean, you think about like that, you do not want that. I mean, you've surgically repaired this, and when you do surgically repair this particular injury, this Jones fracture, that means you're putting things in the foot to fortify it, to fortify the bone. So if you re-injure this, if you have another fracture here, yeah, I mean, in theory, the timeline, you could be back. But think about how that could be a real problem for Derrick Henry's career moving forward. So, you have to be sure. They will be sure. And I don't think this is going to come down to a question of is it healed or not. It's going to come down to how confident is he? How's the mobility? How's the cutting? Is he ready to go out there and do what he does? And everybody feels good that it's not going to be a quick re-injury.
Yeah, like I'm interested to see, you know, when he gets back out there, how quickly can he approach looking like Derrick Henry out there, right? I mean, look, we don't have a lot of experience watching him come back from injury, especially an injury like this, because the dude just hasn't been hurt. I mean, this is a big-time injury for a running back when you're talking about your feet, especially, you know, we talked about this a lot, the size that he is, the cutting that you do. You know, I just wonder how long it takes him to get back into the flow and not necessarily, you know, seeing the lanes and the speed of the game. You know, there's been a lot of talk about that. I'm not really worried about that with Derrick Henry. He's had enough carries in the NFL where he knows what he's doing out there. But just physically, like the stamina, what's that like? The conditioning, what's that like? Like how much has he really been able to stay in football shape when you've not really been able to be on your feet and run for the length of time that he's been able to do it? That's to me what's going to be really interesting when he comes back.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's, you look at this injury and what it is, and it's easy. It's like, man, that's how easily could that happen? You know, when you're the size and that he is, and when you do what he does,
yeah.
So much of it is you look at how much you're on the sides of your feet, you know, as you're cutting and, you know, sticking your foot in the ground and changing direction. So, and that's just, you know, as tough as Derrick Henry is, as durable as he is, you figure whatever he would have, he would heal quickly. Remember, he had the hamstring. So, you know, he still plays great in Oakland against the Raiders, but he has to go in the locker room. He misses a week. Then he comes out and runs for 1 million yards against the Texans. I mean, and then just goes on this incredible run, you know, in New England and Baltimore. So, like, the durability on that stuff is peak, but that's still different than this, which is, okay, you have this, you know, you had a fracture. This is the first serious injury of your career, and it's not like, you know, a wrist fracture or something where, you know, after it heals, you go. Like, this is what you do. This is the thing that you pound on every single play when you're out there. So to just think it's easy to snap your fingers and just be all fine and back to yourself, I think that's I think you're fooling yourself if you think it's easy even for Derrick Henry.
ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group have teamed up this holiday season with Souls for Souls to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them the most. And Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's 4 locations. You can help us achieve our goal of getting shoes to 100 kids in Nashville experiencing homelessness. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. When we come back, we'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also take a look at the college football playoff coming up this week as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Kyle, this probably is not a popular thought at this point, but I still don't think anybody wants to see the Titans when you get into the postseason. When I was doing my annual survey of GMs and other front office people last week in terms of Coach of the Year and other awards, Mike Vrabel's name kept coming up because he's lost so many of his players, his key skill guys on offense, decimated for months now, yet the Titans keep on winning. They still got a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill who has shown you that he can step up. He's built to do it, both passing and running. Derrick Henry, it sounds like, maybe even gets back for Week 18, a chance to knock off some of the rust before they get into the playoffs after his significant foot injury that he had earlier on this season. And then A.J. Brown comes back cold. Second half, last Thursday night, completely takes over the game. He's never going to be a high-volume guy. That's just not the way that they're constructed. But he is right now without Derrick Henry. 16 targets for Brown in that game, 11 catches for 145 yards and a touchdown. He set such a physical tone for the rest of that team. You get Henry back now, maybe get something out of Julio Jones. Don't cut out the Titans just yet.
That was Tom Pelissero on the NFL Network yesterday on Good Morning Football discussing the Titans, potentially a return for Derrick Henry in Week 18 as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic here with you. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by Wilson County and Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. So who is the odd man out in the running back room when he comes back, or do they carry four guys at that position? What do you think they do at running back, Joe Rexrode, when Derrick Henry's back in there?
You know, it's a really good question because I think a lot of people would instinctively go right to Deontay Foreman. I think he's been the most effective runner. I think Nichols is secure as a third down back. But you know what? You could make the case for Dontrell Hilliard over Deontay Foreman because Hilliard is a little bit more versatile, a guy who is a little bit better in the pass game, and maybe it's better to have a guy who's a little bit different than Derrick Henry as opposed to a guy who's more – Deontay Foreman is reminiscent of Derrick Henry. He's not as powerful. He's certainly not as fast or as much of a home run threat. But it's the same kind of thing. I don't know. I honestly don't know. What do you think? I don't know. I think Deontay Foreman would be, if we did a poll on this, that should be a pretty good poll.
Yeah.
I think Deontay Foreman would probably win by a decent margin, but I'm not sure that's the case.
I don't necessarily hate the idea of having Derrick Henry in there and having Deontay Foreman as kind of the number two as well, and then leaving Jeremy McNichols in his role because – I know it's Derrick Henry. I know he's superhuman, and I know he does things on a weekly basis when he's healthy that just leave us shaking our heads. It's still difficult, I guess, for me to imagine him just going back to carrying the rock 35 times as soon as he gets back in there. So to me, it would be nice to have Foreman to be able to give him a breather and to be able to, maybe not entire series where you give him the ball, but some downs where you give him the ball that you would normally give to Derrick Henry as you're trying to get him back in there. So, look, to your point, Dontrell Hilliard, I think he's been really good. I think he's run the ball well for the most part. Obviously, he can be a factor in the passing game as well. The good news, I guess, if you're the Titans, I don't really think there's a bad option that you have on your roster right now with the role that you're going to ask them to play. But I guess if I had to hand select the three, I would probably go Henry, Foreman, and then McNichols would be my third down back.
Yeah, I think I would too, but it would be tough. It would be tough because Hilliard, is a little bit faster, and I think a little bit better in the pass game. But again, McNichols is pretty secure in that role. McNichols, the guy who many people ruled off the team back in August, including yours truly. So, and honestly, McNichols, even carrying the ball here and there, has had some real nice little moments recently. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's actually incredible when you think about you try Adrian Peterson, doesn't work out, but Foreman and Hilliard, have been for guys who are just out there floating around, available, not employed by anyone. It tells you how tough it is to be a running back in this league, because those are talented guys. Those are good players who can't get a job. So obviously right now, if you're those guys, man, you are doing everything you can to try to stay active, and you know 22 is probably coming back pretty soon.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Devin from Dover texting in. I hope Jared didn't hear Pelissero say Ryan Tannehill stepped up. He'll do a 4-hour show on how bad of a take that was and how Tannehill sucks. This is coming from Devin on the text line.
Man. So, okay, first of all, so is Jared on an island here? I mean, I don't know, because I don't listen to everybody or hear. I don't know what everyone is out there saying and tweeting. Jared has an amazing ability to do that. But, like, is he's not alone in this. I mean, Ryan Porth came in last week and was like, he's 1,000% totally changed his mind on Tannehill. Stillman's not alone, right?
I don't think he's alone. No, I think he's probably for sure been the most vocal. And to Jared's credit, he's been talking about Tannehill basically since the first Indy game. So he certainly has been very consistent on that this year.
That's to his credit?
Well, I'm just saying that he's been consistent. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. I mean, he has – well, right. I mean, you have a take, and it's like, forget any information that comes. You're going to find a way to spin things so that your take will still be somehow not ridiculous. So I guess I give him credit for that too.
And now it's led to Toots is the driving cat meme and Twitter account, which is the gift that keeps on giving. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. We'll get back into the Titans coming up to begin the 7 o'clock hour as well. The college football playoff taking place this week, Joe Rex Road. Right now, Georgia, 7.5-point favorites against Michigan coming up on Friday night. Alabama, 13.5-point favorites against Cincinnati. So the odds makers expecting an all SEC rematch. I think if you took a straw poll around the country, most people probably expecting Alabama and Georgia to win in this game. I will say, you know, first off, the Will Anderson comments, I'm not sure if you saw this yesterday, but Will Anderson of Alabama basically saying that they feel like the underdogs in this game against Cincinnati because they've been disrespected all year. I was like, oh yeah, just try to sell me a little harder on the Alabama underdog story. That's been a rich one over the last few days. But outside of that, you know, I am interested in terms of, can this Michigan defense slow down Georgia's offense? Because I don't have a ton of confidence that Michigan's going to be able to put up a ton of points against Georgia. But that's a stout front Georgia's going to be going against on offense. I'm interested to see if they can slow down that Georgia offense and make Stetson Bennett make some mistakes like we saw in the Alabama game as well.
Yeah, and that's the key to the game because, look, I'm going to believe what I saw all year with Georgia's defense. And I saw them have problems one time with an elite Heisman-winning quarterback. And guys who are going to be playing on Sundays and prominently playing on Sundays in the passing game. So there's your ticket to getting after Georgia's defense. I'm going to believe what I've seen all year and think that they're going to keep Michigan to a very low number. Although, you know, Michigan's got a lot better offensively, but Michigan's defense. Yeah. I mean, I mean, that's the key to the game. That's the key to this being a good game. And I think it is possible for Michigan to keep the score down. When you have two edge rushers like they do, you're talking about two guys who could go in the top 10. That's a big deal. You got to obviously stop the run, but they've got a good all around defense.
If Cincinnati is able to hang in there with Alabama and hang around into the fourth quarter and even have a chance to pull this off, which look, most people are giving Cincinnati absolutely zero chance in this game. I understand why. Alabama, quite frankly, if they play like they did against Georgia, I don't think Cincinnati has a prayer to win this game. The problem is, I've watched Alabama play a lot this year. Sometimes they played like they played against Georgia, and sometimes they've looked pretty bad. And I think the story of this game is going to be which Alabama team shows up. But I will say, like, if they don't show up looking close to their best, Cincinnati's going to be able to hang around based on what I've seen out of Bama so far this year.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the same thing with Georgia. Look, I believe in Georgia because I watch them all year. They are incredible. They're a fantastic football team, especially defensively. One of the best defenses I've seen in college football. I'm going to believe what I've seen all year from Alabama. You know, on one day they rose up and they played an incredible game. I still don't understand exactly how their offensive line did what it did, given how bad it has looked at times. I mean, bad, bad the week before, terrible. So credit to them, but the larger, you know, the preponderance of evidence here is that Alabama is a flawed team. And I actually have optimism that we're going to get a good game there. Maybe it's, you know, I mean, I say that out loud now. Make sure you come back at me and laugh at me when we have a 48-10 final. But I actually have some optimism here that that Cincinnati is going to hang in there. The problem is, and we've seen this over and over again, we didn't see it in the first playoff because Ohio State pulled the stunner on the way to winning it all. But typically, Nick Saban gets this extra time to prepare for opponent and completely dissect an opponent. He's got, like, you know, 17 former head coaches as interns, you know, feeding every bit of information into every supercomputer you can have on a college campus. And also, he's pretty good as a coach himself. Usually, they're pretty prepared for the opponent.
I'm going to go ahead and throw a hot take your way. It's going to be a call your shot Tuesday. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Georgia will beat Michigan by more points than Alabama beat Cincinnati by. Go ahead and write it down. Georgia wins the game by more points than Alabama beat Cincinnati.
I like that hot take. I hope they're both good games. But certainly, I don't think that's crazy at all. I really don't. You know, Georgia coming off that loss and everything. I could see that game. I mean, they've been the best team this year. They had a bad day against some elite playmakers. So I'm hopeful that, you know, Michigan can make that a game, and that can be that we get two good ones. That'd be great. But no, if that happens, I'm not going to be surprised. I think a lot of people would think that is a hot take. I think there's a lot more talk out there about Michigan, Georgia being, you know, it's the later game. It's the hope for a good game. If it's not as good a game as the other one, I'm not going to be shocked. Good hot take.
Thank you. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate coming up tomorrow morning at 8:45. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, when we come back, some news on the Predators front yesterday, both on the COVID list and with some potential games coming up this week as well. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, it looks like we could finally be getting closer to some Nashville Predators hockey. They're scheduled to take on the Washington Capitals tomorrow night on the road, taking on Columbus on Thursday before coming back home this Saturday to begin the new year by taking on the Chicago Blackhawks in a matinee matchup at Bridgestone Arena. Some news on the Predators front yesterday. Nick Cousins, Mikhail Granlund, Philip Tomasino back on the active roster. Mark Borowiecki, Ben Harper, and Ryan Johansson on the active roster as well. They put Matt Luff and Michael McCarron on the taxi squad, but did put Tommy Novak, Colton Sissons, and Roman Josi on the COVID-19 protocol list as well. So some good news, some bad news for the Predators yesterday when it comes to the COVID-19 list. That just looks like in the NHL right now, that's just going to continue to be kind of a revolving door this week on the COVID-19 protocol list. Roman Josi being on the list obviously is not good. They need Roman Josi out there as much as possible, but it looks like they're at least going to be back on the ice tomorrow. They practiced the last couple of days. They are not going to be practicing today. They'll have their morning skate tomorrow in Washington, and it looks like for the first time since December the 17th, we'll have some Nashville Predators hockey to look forward to.
That sounds good, and yeah, that's the funny thing is if you read the transaction, you know, and the Preds put it out, like you read through, like everybody's coming off like, oh, wow, here they, and they, oh, okay, oh, there's the good news and there's the bad news. How do you assess that trade-off overall?
Well, I mean, look, it's nice to get Granlin and Johansson back for sure. Now, I guess your follow-up question there, if you're a Predators fan, is what's the status of Matt Duchene right now? Obviously, he was not on the COVID list, but he did have an injury before this took place. I mean, I would assume, based on the day-to-day status, that he's probably okay, but I guess we'll find out coming up tomorrow against Washington. So I think you feel good about that. Obviously, I mean, Roman Josi, I mean, we've talked about it. Adam Bingen joined me on Preds Insiders last week and said he's the driver of this team. I think that's certainly been the case so far this year. So, you know, if he's out tomorrow, if he's out Thursday, that's a pretty massive loss, but really good to have Granlin and Johansson back in there specifically.
Yeah. No doubt. You know, the forward group all of a sudden, you know, it's a lot more whole. And yeah, I guess I've just sort of assumed Duchene would be back. And this could end up being, I mean, if not, then day to day was a little bit optimistic. And this could end up being, of course, you know, in terms of his season and this terrific season he's having, this could end up being, you know, a good thing. He's going to end up missing fewer games now because of this break and pause. If he can come back, if he's all healthy tomorrow, and then we'll see if he can pick up the production. But, you know, it could end up being better for his bottom line in the end if he can participate in these makeup games, however the heck they figure all that out.
Yeah, and it was interesting to hear Darren's thoughts yesterday as well in terms of, you know, obviously the players aren't going to the Olympics at this point. You've got basically those 3 weeks in February now where you can make up some of the games. You know, I don't know what the NHL is exactly going to do there because, I mean, you do have this break that you just had, and the Predators specifically, I mean, they hadn't played since December 17th. But there's no All-Star break this year. Now there's no Olympic break this year. Like, at some point, the players are going to need, you know, some time off. They can't just drive them into the ground until the playoffs come. I mean, I guess they could, but that's probably not the ideal scenario the NHL is looking for.
No, yeah. No, I mean, the thing is, what you want out of this is everyone to still get, you don't want just the unintentional. This is not a restful break. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like when you mentally prepare for like, okay, we're going to have this time period off. That's a lot better than like, okay, we're going to play today or not. We're going to practice we're back. Okay. You know? So that's still, I think, important to have. And everybody was mentally prepared for, obviously some players going over there, and that would have been grueling. And that's why, you know, the teams don't like him because they'll like the players in the Olympics because they can go get hurt. But everybody else had a big break planned for. I'm sure trips were planned and all this stuff. And now that gets all blown up. So it's a tricky situation trying to make it all work.
Taking on Peter Laviolette and the Washington Capitals tomorrow. This will be the first time the Predators are taking on Washington under Peter Laviolette. I'm sure it'll be a nice and warm reception out there for players who played for him. Obviously, a lot of success the Predators had under Peter Laviolette. It came to a pretty quick end in the 2020 season, as we know. But be nice to see them take on Peter Laviolette out there coming up tomorrow night. It's kind of hard to believe that, you know, this is his second full season in Washington, and this is the first time that they'll be playing him. But that's what the schedule's been like the last couple of years.
Yeah, and, you know, what I'm really interested in, it brings up, you know, the question of, and I'm not even sure, I'm actually looking at the schedule now to figure out when the heck this is, but so it's Saturday, April 2nd, which is probably Final Four Saturday, when the Vols will probably be playing as Kentucky, but Kentucky could be in the NIT Final Four, though, at that time.
We're going to be in the real parading. Final Four. Thank you. Yep, thank you.
Kentucky's parading down Broadway with the NIT trophy proudly over their head.
You just wait, guys. This is just a big jinx right now. You guys just wait, okay?
I mean, we're talking hockey. Michelle probably had no idea that a shot at Kentucky basketball was coming. I don't know why that came to me there. But anyway, I'm really interested to see, you know, what I mean, hopefully everything's good and in terms of sports and you can have a full arena and all this stuff, right? So what kind of reception does Peter Laviolette get in Nashville? Like how do Preds fans feel about Peter Laviolette?
Oh, I think they should feel good.
Think they should too.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy that, let's be honest here, I mean, he took you to unprecedented success as a franchise. I mean, you got to a Stanley Cup final. You won a President's Trophy. Look, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious at this point, based on his career track record, that he has a shelf life. I don't think there's really any doubt about that as they move forward here. So, I mean, look, that just is what it is. He's not alone there. I think most coaches in sports have a shelf life to some degree. His is apparently about 4 years, 4 or 5 years, and that's usually the shelf life for Peter Laviolette. But no, I think if you're a Predators fan, I think you largely view what he did and his tenure with the Predators with a pretty great deal of appreciation, would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's how you should look at it. And understanding, of course, if you're a hockey fan, you know that the coaches in this, yeah, there's shelf lives, and it's clear that he has one. And that, oh, so Barry Trotz seems like a coach who maybe doesn't have much of one, right?
Yeah.
Like he's, you know, right. I mean, obviously I know that David Poile moved on from him eventually, but that, you tell me, I mean, to me, that was just sort of like, got to change things up. Not like, oh, his voice has grown tiresome. Right.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, but with Laviolette, it's more the latter, but I mean, Preds fans should feel very good about it and understand that, you know, at that point it was sort of just something needed to be changed. They were trending in the wrong direction. And look, I'll say this too. I mean, the way things look right now, and it's plenty of wait and see on, okay, let's do it another week, see if you can do it another month, you know, keep this going. But I mean, the move to bring in John Hines, of course, looks better and better.
It does. I want to get your thoughts on something that Dan Rosen from NHL.com said yesterday with me on Preds Insiders. We were talking, obviously, about the Philip Forsberg situation and, you know, what happens if the Predators are in a similar spot that they're in right now, which is in second place in the division, you know, call it second, third, whatever you want to call it, but firmly in the playoff spot. He said the idea of trading Forsberg at that point is pretty much laughable to him. You ride it with him. You've got UC Saros there. You give yourself a chance to win in the playoffs and you use Philip Forsberg as your own rental. And then of course, try to re-sign him again. After the season's over, said he wouldn't even consider trying to trade Philip Forsberg at that point. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's going to be some people who disagree with him. I still think it's just a really bad deal in the end if you lose Philip Forsberg and you don't get anything for him. I think that's just a bad deal for the future of your franchise. To me, laughable. I don't think it's ever laughable. So I disagree. Okay. Laughable to me is just, I don't think in any scenario is it laughable. Now, if the Preds are, you know, talking about home playoff series and as the picture continues to get clearer, it just looks more and more like, hey, they can hang in with whoever you want in this conference and they have a fighter's chance in a series. Well, then look, then I get it. And I think that's an interesting way to look at it. He's your own rental. I also think that if that's the case, and we've talked about this a lot, but if it goes that way, then you got to think that Forsberg also, I mean, Forsberg was very unhappy with some of these moves, right? Very unhappy with the Arvidsson move, but you got to think he feels better and better about the moves that have gotten them here and the future of the franchise with him.
Yes, I would think so. And look, I mean, they're 30 games in at this point. You're on a 7-game winning streak if you're the Predators. Now, I know that's been disrupted, and you're basically, I don't want to say you're starting from scratch coming back here, because that's not the case. But, I mean, there's some rust that you're going to have to shake off here if you're the Predators. Now, I guess the good news on that front is it's not just you. Everybody's going to have to shake off some rust as they come back in here. But it's a 7-game win streak. You got to try to build back to where you were at that point. But, If you can recapture that and play the way that they were playing, not just through the results, but I just like the way that they were playing on a nightly basis, I think this team's going to be in good shape as they move forward here. So we'll see if the Predators can do that starting tomorrow against Washington. They'll take on Columbus on Thursday as well before coming back home on Saturday to take on the Chicago Blackhawks. When we come back, we'll get back into the Tennessee Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We will gauge the temperature of the Titans fan base coming up next. Are you happy with the way this season has gone so far with Mike Vrabel and the Titans based on your expectations coming in. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.